This is the message given by Pastor James Lim during the evening worship service at Faith Presbyterian Church, Long Beach, California, for October 15th, 2023. The title of the message is The Heart of Wisdom.
Well, if you would open your Bibles with me, we continue in our series through the book of Proverbs. This evening we look at the heart of wisdom from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27. Hear now the reading of God's holy word. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. May he add his blessing to it this evening. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, our mouths speak. And what he meant by that was this, that our tongues communicate what's in our hearts. Someone once put it this way, our tongues are like a speaker that we plug directly into the amp of our hearts. And whatever our hearts, whatever is in our hearts will be amplified pour out from our tongues, our mouths. And this doesn't just apply to our speech, but everything else in our lives. We can't hide what's in our hearts. It's all going to come out some way, somehow. Whether it is a look or a sneer or a grunt or a slip of the tongue. Right? What is in our hearts will eventually come out. I think before Freud coined the term, you know, Freudian slip, right? It's kind of like a slip of the tongue of our unconscious self. And I think before that is what the Bible teaches as a slip of the heart, right? A heart slip, maybe that's a better way to put it, rather than a Freudian slip. And not just our unconscious, but our true self. Our true self. And so tonight, as we continue in Proverbs, we see the importance of the heart for wisdom. As we consider the character of wisdom, the writer shows us that wisdom is not just a matter of the mind and of the will and of our faith and of our actions, but also, and most importantly, of the heart. It is a matter of the heart. And so let's look at what that looks like. First, wisdom isn't just a matter of the mind, but a matter of the heart. This is where the Bible over and over again tells us the central importance of the heart. The heart is not just an emotional or relational component of our mind. It's not just where we experience emotions, but according to the Old Testament, the heart is the seat of who we are. Everything that we are, in computer terms, it is the central processing unit. The command center of our thoughts, intentions, will, and actions. And all of these things then, when we consider the heart, from the heart, comes everything else. If our lives, for example, were a spider's web and each strand representing some aspect of our lives, then at the very center where all the webbing intersects and all of it's connected, in some ways when you cut that middle, the integrity of the whole web falls apart, and that's the way our hearts function in the web of our lives. And so the Father continues now, right? We've been going through each section where the Father says, my son, do this. And he describes some aspect of wisdom. And so here he passes on this aspect of wisdom, the aspect in which deals with our hearts. He says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape your sight. And how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we be attentive? How do we incline our ears? How do we not let wisdom escape from our sight? We do it by keeping them within our heart. See that? Verse 20 there, 21. Keep them within your heart. And that word keep has the idea of guarding, watching, protecting, right? It's the word used to describe how a night watchman keeps and watches over and guards the camp. It's the word used to describe how God keeps and guards and watches over his people. It's the way that God, as our shepherd, keeps a watch over his sheep. And so what is the writer telling us to do here? He's calling us to guard what we allow into our hearts. He's calling us to guard the wisdom that's already in our hearts, and so that nothing can get in and steal it. And I'll touch on that in a moment. And so what he's calling us to do is keep watch on the gates of our hearts and not let anyone or anything just enter in like a wolf to devour our souls and keep us from the Lord. You can also say that if wisdom is more precious than gold or silver, right? We saw that several passages back, right? It's more precious than gold or silver. If it's more valuable than anything that this world has to offer, then he's telling us to keep it locked so that no one can steal it, right? Cherish it, save it, guard it, keep it. It's like having a priceless diamond or a fine work of art in your home and never locking your doors. Now, he's not telling us to close off our hearts, to seal it from anything coming in or out. It just means be careful what you let in. Be careful what comes out. Be careful what you keep. Right? And so you want to make sure nothing comes in and messes up the heart that God has given you. Look at verse 22. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. See, it's life to us. It's healing to us. And so wisdom, it's incumbent upon us that we treasure and guard it in our hearts and not throw it away or take it for granted. You know, this reminds me of a time when Taylor and I were getting ready when we were getting engaged. And one of the roadblocks to me actually getting engaged was I couldn't afford a engagement ring. And so Taylor had just inherited a family heirloom ring. And it's this really nice ring. At least, you know, in my opinion, it was the most precious thing that I had ever owned. I mean, apart from my car, but it was a really, I had gotten this ring appraised and it was very valuable. I mean, I was like, wow, I don't remember the exact number, but it was like, man. And I lived, I kind of lived in the ghetto, if you will, of Escondido, because I was a seminary student. It was kind of like it was a little sketchy neighborhood, you know. I mean, there were other seminary students, but the neighborhood itself was kind of sketchy, you know. And it was this, you know, rundown apartment complex. And I just didn't feel confident to just, you know, put it in a drawer in my desk, you know, in my apartment. That's just, you know, anybody can just come in. So what I ended up doing was, you know, I was so nervous not to just keep it in my apartment. What I did is I went to the bank. I went to my bank and I opened up a safety deposit box and just stuck it in there and turned the key and left it. And I was like, oh, I feel much better. Like, you know, my apartment is not that safe. I mean, I didn't have much of value. But I found a more secure place for it, to keep it. And that's what the writer is telling us to do here with wisdom. something as valuable as wisdom that we receive from our fathers, from our parents, from our those who came before us, when they pass it on to us, it's incumbent upon us to keep it safe in our hearts. And so we have to keep your, look at verse, keep it with vigilance. And this brings us then to my second point. Wisdom is a matter of the heart, because from it is the wellspring of our lives. Everything we say or feel or do arises from who we are at the heart level. The heart is the root of our lives, from which everything else shoots out and bears fruit. The writer tells us in verse 23 why we guard the wisdom in our hearts. Look at what he says there in verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Why? For from it flows the springs of life. The heart isn't just the root from which our lives sprout, but the wellspring from which everything else flows. So everything we think or feel or do is so to speak, downstream of our heart. So if we don't protect the spring, the fountain, the source, and it gets polluted somehow or poisoned, then guess what? Everything downstream is polluted and poisoned, and it's going to die. This is why, for example, we have the doctrine of total depravity. It doesn't mean that we're as sinful or depraved as we could be, but that sin affects the totality of our existence, our heart, our mind, our will, our actions. And this is why God begins the work of new creation by giving us a new heart. Because when he gives us a new heart, the new work of the new creation work that God does in redeeming us is downstream from the heart. Right? I think it's really interesting. When I used to watch the Discovery Channel, and they would show all these surgery shows, and it was really interesting when they would show heart transplants. They would show this like, you know, really dark. The blood is dark. The heart muscle is dark, and you could tell it's sick. And all the veins are just, you know, you could tell like the blood is just hasn't been pumping that well. And then they bring in this new heart, and they kind of do the whole. They put in all the veins, connected to all the veins and arteries, and they, you know, stimulate the heart with a little jump of electricity, and it's this like bright red heart. It's really bright, and it starts beating, and then you begin to see from all the veins and the arteries, the color of the veins all start to change. The ones that are dark stay dark, and they become a more healthy dark. But the bright red arteries just in an instant turn bright red. And then all the rest of the blood in the person begins to pump through, and automatically the color comes back. It's all downstream from the heart. And that's what the writer is telling us here. That's why we have to guard our hearts. Because if we don't guard it, or we don't protect it, then everything is going to be the same. Is going to be the state of where our heart is. And if our heart isn't filled with wisdom, and it's just folly flowing through our hearts, then everything else is going to be folly as well. See, it's like someone dumping poison into a well. That gives everybody else clean water, it's going to poison everybody. And, you know, this reminds me of when I lived in Orlando, Florida. We had an elder who lived about 45 minutes east of the church. And when I went to go visit him, and he had this large nursery, because they used to have orange groves. They used to have an orange citrus farm. And it ended up becoming a nursery for landscapers. And as you're going that way, it becomes more and more rural. And then I would see these huge signs that say the Floridian Aquifer Recharge Zone. And then underneath it says, no dumping. It's a federal and state crime. And I thought, well, that's weird. And so I asked the elder, like, well, what is it? What's up with the signs about the aquifer and no dumping? He said, well, because if you know anything about Florida, there's a lot of rain, and it's a lot of the rock underneath it is very porous. So with all the rain that comes, the water seeps through, and there's this huge aquifer, a huge pool of underground water, the largest aquifer in North America. And the recharge zone, where the water goes down into the aquifer, the underground lake, if you will, it was right underneath us. And so if you poured dangerous chemicals, guess where it goes? It goes into the aquifer and it pollutes the whole water system. It was the aquifer that provides water for most of the state of Florida. So if you just poured chemicals right onto the ground and it seeped into the aquifer, you poisoned the water for the majority of the people of Florida. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is calling us to be careful. For from it flows the spring of life. This is why you have to guard it. How do you guard it? You guard it by seeing wisdom as a precious resource from which the joy, goodness, and beauty of our lives flow. To neglect wisdom and to let folly by ignoring God's word and wisdom, doing what we think is right in our eyes as if God didn't exist, it would be like pouring millions and millions of crude oil onto the ground there that seeps in and poisons everything. Our thoughts, our wills, our lives. And so how do we guard it? We do it by asking God to help us be wise and to fight against the folly of our own sins. By hiding God's word in our hearts, walking by faith, not by sight, trusting God's wisdom and leaning not on our own understanding, but consciously and intentionally seeking out God's wisdom to permeate every area of our lives by asking God to make us more and more like Jesus. To make us more and more like him through wisdom from the heart, not just the mind, not just the will, but deep down to the very core of who we are. This is an important principle in Christianity. Is that if we are struggling with a particular sin, it's not enough to just moderate our behavior, right? It's not just behavior modification. It's not just simply not doing something and doing something else and then getting into a ritual or a rut of doing something else rather than doing the sin, right? That'll only work for a time, right? It's a temporary Band-Aid fix. But the only way in which we can overcome those sins that we struggle with is for God to change us at the very root of that sin. And where does that root lie? It lies in our heart. And so we have to ask God to change the sin in our hearts from which that sin grows and from which that sin flows. Because if not, then, you know, it's almost like if the poison is upstream, and we're downstream, and you can't clear the water of the poison quickly enough to drink. You have to fix it at the source, and not downstream. And so that's what the writer of Proverbs is telling us here. This brings us then to my last point. Wisdom is not only a matter of the heart, because it's the wellspring of life, but it is also then it will result in the guarding of the expression of our hearts. So let me put it this way. If we guard wisdom in our hearts, if we keep wisdom in our hearts and we guard it because it's the wellspring of life, then our lives are going to reflect what's going on in our hearts. And so we guard the expression of wisdom from the heart. And so what does our life look like downstream from a heart that guards wisdom? How does the fruit express what comes from the root? How do our actions express what comes from the heart? Look at verse 24. If we can guard our hearts in wisdom, we can guard from it. Then we guard our lips. Look at verse 24. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. I think this is the Old Testament equivalent of what Jesus is saying about out of the abundance of our hearts, the mouth speak. Right. The context here is the heart to our actions. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 12, 34 to 37. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. And so our speech expresses what's in our heart. So as we guard our hearts in wisdom, we will also guard our lips with wisdom. And this means being quick to hear and very, very slow to speak. This is why God gave us two ears and one mouth. We ought to listen twice as much as we speak. And if we want to tame our tongues, we have to ask God to tame our hearts. There's no other way around it. We must also guard our vision, the way that we see the world. Look at verse 25. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Now, this isn't just using our physical eyes, but the eyes of our hearts, the eyes of our faith, as we walk by faith and not by sight. We need to see straight in order to walk straight, to be straight. Right? Where your eyes go, there will your body also follow. It's really interesting when I remember seeing a documentary about the descendant. He was a descendant, I think, of this really famous what's the right word? Maybe it's Evel Knievel, or maybe it's I can't remember his name, but the escape artist, Harry Houdini. He comes from a long history, a long line of daredevils who walk tightrope. And so it's a whole family of them. And so the latest one, he's famous for walking a tightrope from across the Grand Canyon and across the Twin Towers when they were still up. And they did a documentary about him, and they asked him, you know, how he keeps his concentration. And he says that he prays, of course, and he says he's a Christian. But what he does is he concentrates and focuses in a straight line, and he doesn't look anywhere else. Because the moment he looks anywhere else, his body's going to follow him. Oop. He's gone. It's the same idea as to why you keep your eyes straight on the road. And believe me, I know, because sometimes my wife will attest to it. I will see something, I'll be like, oh, that looks really cool. And then like I'm swerving. And so what the writer is telling us here is if God's wisdom works in our heart to make our heart straight, so will our vision be straight. So will our lives be straight. You see that? And if we do that, the way that we keep the guy who walks a tightrope line looks straight ahead, the gospel calls us to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and to walk in a straight line towards Him. Listen to the writer of Hebrews. He's telling his persecuted readers to how to persevere and to continue in the Christian life. He says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. You see, if we're not guarding our vision so that our gaze wanders at other things, then we will go to them, not to Jesus. That we have to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, and then we will go straight to him who is himself the way, the truth, and the life. And as we do that, we will not swerve. Sorry, Taylor. We will not swerve if we keep our eyes on the road, the way of wisdom that leads us to life with God. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. And so, let me conclude here. This is just a reminder of how wisdom ought to change us. We have to ask God through the power of his grace in the gospel to change our hearts in wisdom and then let everything else flow from it. To keep it in the heart, to guard it in our hearts, and to express it from the heart into our lives. And as we make our way to Jesus, as we keep our eyes fixed upon him, we will become like him, who is himself the source of our life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That is the hope of the Christian life, and I hope it will be the hope of you as well. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the heart of wisdom that you give to us in Christ Jesus. Help us to keep it, guard it, and to live it out in our lives. Help us to keep our eyes fixed upon him. Lord, help us to live for him. And we ask, Lord, all of these things through Jesus our Lord. Amen.